It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, the NIH tells researchers to stop a gender bias in studies of drugs and other treatments.
First, the new reboot of Godzilla opened in theaters today, unofficially kicking off the summer blockbuster season. Here's a clip from the trailer.
In 1954, we awakened something.
There's nuclear tests in the Pacific. Not tests.
They were trying to kill it.
We have Rob Thomas with us in the studio now to give a preview of the big hits slated to come out this summer. He's editor and writer at the Capital Times and a blogger at Madison Movie. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what's the buzz about that new Godzilla movie so far?
Well, Godzilla kind of, you know, about the time he was fighting the Smog Monster and Megalon, his brand kind of dipped a little bit, but people are saying this one is really good. It kind of gets back to the first one, the original Japanese one from 1950, which was actually quite chilling. And this one has sort of that same vibe, I guess. It sounds like they've finally done it right.
And it sounds like, at least from what I've read, you've got monster versus monster battles, and everyone likes those.
See, that sounds totally sweet. I hadn't heard that, but that would be great. Because at some point, you can only step on so many buses. You know, you need something to do.
Right.
You need another monster to fight. So, and Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad is in it. And the guy who directed it only directed one low-budget monster movie called Monsters. And so it's quite a big assignment for him, but so far that's looking kind of like the big movie this summer, I think.
What is it about Godzilla that puts him among the King Kongs of the world, but, you know, you don't see the Gamoras or Mothras coming back again and again like that?
Well, Gamora was a turtle, so that's a strike against him right there.
Or four.
Right. I don't know. I think, you know, there's something about this giant lizard wreaking havoc. And, you know, he became cute and cuddly in the 70s. And then there was that really bad movie in the 90s. And, you know, special effects that have advanced to the part where it can just be a completely amazing experience. Of course, it's in 3D. Of course, it's on the IMAX screens. So, you know, it's Godzilla's time.
If that's the big movie of the summer, it's peaking pretty early. It's not even Memorial Day.
Right. I'm wearing a sweater and coat, and we're talking about summer movies.
And snow pants,
and really,
enough.
I mean, Spider-Man was a couple of weeks ago. It seems like the summer movie season is moving earlier and earlier as everybody's – I think everybody's trying to – all the studios are trying to outmaneuver each other and get that first one. And get
and
that,
not get lost in the big summer crowd, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Hmm.
Well, there's another one coming out soon, Memorial Day weekend. We have the new X-Men movie, and let's take a listen. We've got a little bit from that.
You'll need to go into the past to end this war before it ever begins.
So in that, we have a lot of the stars who have been in the X-Men movie before. Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, a lot of the younger folks, of course. Jennifer Lawrence, did I see, is on board now, taking over a role played by somebody else. Are people still into these X-Men movies?
The last one was X-Men First Class was a big hit. And this one is kind of interesting because you've got the original Patrick Stewart timeline X-Men traveling back in time to meet the X-Men First Class one, which was set in the 60s. So it's a very bloated cast. You've got like Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy and Hugh Jackman, of course, as Wolverine. But if they pull it off, it'll be a pretty amazing feat. It's like two franchises colliding head on the screen.
So wait, Professor X meets younger Professor
exactly.
X, Magneto meets young Magneto,
exactly.
And so
yeah.
on.
Yeah, it's like...
See, that seems like something Star Trek would pull. I don't know.
Oh, totally.
And would pull off.
Right, exactly. I love it.
Yeah. I think so. I haven't seen the other X-Men movies. Do you need to be on board, do you think, with the earlier stuff to get it?
I got a feeling you probably do, although at some point things will start blowing up and you should be fine.
You know, Marvel Comics just keeps putting out one franchise after another. It seems like Avengers and all the individual heroes feeding into Avengers, the X-Men, Spider-Man... Are we going to reach peak Marvel at some point and not have any more?
I don't know. I think they got their next 9 movies planned out. And now DC is doing the same thing. They're starting to have all these movies building up to, a big Justice League movie in like 2018 or something like that. You do have to wonder, like, how many capes you can see on a screen before you kind of get sick of it. But like some of them are great. I thought the Captain America movie in the spring was really good. So it all comes down to just making a good movie the same as anything else.
Is that because these movies are appealing to everybody, or are they just going for teenage boys?
Well, I think they're going for teenage boys first and teenage girls. But you get some interesting actors, you get some interesting filmmakers. The guys who made the Captain America movie, for example, they basically made like a spy movie that was a superhero movie. And so for me, I think that's the key, is like to figure out a way to do something different with the superhero thing. There's a superhero movie coming, another Marvel one coming in August called Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'd never heard of. I'd never read the comic, but it's got Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation. Hmm. And it's kind of a comic Dirty Dozen sort of twist on the superhero group theme. And there's like a talking raccoon. And it just seems like a nice spin on a genre that sometimes can take itself really, really seriously.
Yeah, I've gotten, I'll admit, a little superheroed out. And a lot of that is, I mean, no, we don't need to go back to the old Batman TV show level of camp.
Right.
But maybe not quite so serious about what we're doing. So Captain America, you recommended, is a good twist. And this Guardians of the Galaxy sounds promising.
Right. So. I haven't seen the new Spider-Man yet, but that takes a lighter tone as well. Yeah, I think it comes down to the filmmakers. I think Man of Steel last year was really serious and lacked a lot of Christopher Reeve's sort of the comic tone he took to it. And yeah, it's just all about trying to balance that.
And Disney has a pretty big movie coming out this summer starring Angelina Jolie and her razor-sharp cheekbones, Maleficent. And again, we've got a clip. Let's listen.
Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she will fall.
Wow. I've been seeing this one for a while. The trailers have been, they're really building the hype, the buzz around this one. What is it going to be like?
It looks interesting. Disney seems to be into this thing of like doing live action versions of their old cartoons. Remember a couple years ago, there was Snow White and the Huntsman with Charlize Theron playing the Wicked God, I can't remember, with the bad woman. I get my fairy tales crossed.
Yeah.
And I got Angelina Jolie as sort of a Sleeping Beauty, but kind of action epic retweet. This seems to be the thing they're doing now. I mean, pretty soon we'll see a Shaggy Dog movie that's like $200 million and lots of CGI and stuff. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I think she might end up being sort of the hero over the movie, or not the villain, which is kind of interesting.
Well, it's told from her perspective.
Right. So it's like, well, why did I get so mean, basically? You know, what have I got against the Sleeping Beauty anyway? So I think that should be interesting. And I think she's certainly well cast. She's going to be having a good time.
It's hard to pull up. I mean, Wicked did that,
right.
That sort of explaining the story behind the bad guy successfully, I guess. You know, the Star Wars newer bad trilogy tried to give us the story behind why Darth Vader went bad less successfully. I think it seems like that's hard to pull off when you know at the end they're the bad guy.
Right. Well, yeah, I think, I mean, it's again, kind of like the superhero movie. It's trying to take these... You know, what's happening in Hollywood is they're taking a lot of these very familiar, established properties and trying to do something different with them because they're, frankly, afraid to do something really different. So you get the same, you know, a spin on this or a spin on that. And, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work like the Star Wars prequels or sometimes it can be kind of interesting. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, we're talking right now to Rob Thomas of the Cap Times, looking at a preview of the blockbusters coming out this summer.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our preview of this year's summer blockbusters with Rob Thomas of the Cap Times.
And we want to hear from you. What movies are you looking forward to seeing this summer? Are you a fan of getting out and seeing a movie, seeing the big summer blockbusters? Why or why not? And what's your favorite summer blockbuster of all time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. We've got John on the line in La Crosse. John, hi.
How are you doing? I am getting ready to go see Godzilla tomorrow. I'm old enough, practically retirement age, and I got to see the original one when I was a kid. And I followed it over the years. You know, that really isn't the original one really isn't the kid movie. That was a really serious statement they were making because they were filming that while Nagasaki and Hiroshima were still piles of rubble. So it was a very interesting symbolic film, and I didn't realize till recently when the 50th anniversary version came out of the original that the version that we've seen with Raymond Burr in it, they spliced all that in. That was made in the USA and spliced in. And
no
it didn't
kidding.
Really hurt the movie. Yeah. You have to look really carefully. But you'll see that whenever there's a Japanese person talking to them, the back of their head is facing the camera.
Huh. John, what a great story. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the new Godzilla. So, yeah, I mean, I think of Godzilla as a popcorn cruncher, but as you mentioned, Rob, there's some depth to the original.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like you said, that was only 5 years away from Hiroshima, and they're making, you know, this allegorical monster movie about nuclear war. I just hope they don't insert Raymond Burr in the new one somehow. I just don't think that would work.
Let's go back to the phones and take Ellen next in Stevens Point. Hey, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi, what is your vote?
The movie that you have not discussed yet is The Fault in Our Stars, based on the best-selling book by John Green.
Right, and this one is it's a tearjerker, right?
I'm sorry?
It's a tearjerker, isn't it, Ellen?
I think we're losing Ellen there.
She can't hear us.
I don't know that one, Rob.
Yeah, that's actually will be huge. It's kind of unusual for a summer movie because it is a tearjerker. It's a young adult novel starring Shailene Woodley, and I think it's about two teenagers both falling in love while battling cancer. And it's a huge book, and she was in Divergent this spring. She's a really rising star. She's looking to be the next Jennifer Lawrence, I think, in terms of balancing sort of serious and more blockbustery roles. So I think she's right. That's going to be a really big movie this summer.
Well, moving probably to the opposite extreme, this weekend, Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy and producer of the new Cosmos, don't know where he's going to go next, but he's out with a new movie. He directed Ted a couple summers ago. It was a hit. This time he's got a Western spoof. We have a clip here.
The American West is a terrible place in time. Everything out here that's not you wants to kill you. Angry, drunk people, hungry animals, outlaws.
How to Die in the Old West, I think, is the title.
I think it's a million ways to die in the West. Yeah, we were trying to get that one. yeah, I think that comes out in a couple weeks. And it looks good. I really like Ted a lot. And this is sort of a Blazing Saddles kind of very broad comedic Western. The one thing is that Seth MacFarlane likes to make a lot of 80s pop culture references in like Family Guy and then on Ted. And you can't really make those unless they're like 1880s references in a Western. So we'll see how that works.
Maybe he'll try to pull it off.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I just checked. May 30th it comes out. I read the date wrong.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah, a couple weekends.
Yeah.
Well, what about stuff for kids that are coming down the pike?
It doesn't seem like there's a ton of animated movies this year. There's not a Pixar film this summer. I mean, not an official one, which is pretty rare. The big one, I think, is probably How to Train Your Dragon 2, which comes out in June, I believe. And the first one was a lot of fun. It was like a great 3D movie to take your kid to. And a lot of times the 3D is not worth the extra few bucks. But and so that's the one I think is really that's really the big kids movie this summer. There's another Planes movie, I think, in July.
A spinoff from the Cars.
Yeah.
But
Pixar. Those have kind of been like every one has been a little bit worse than the other and farther away from the original. So, but, you know, it gets hot and the kids are bored. That might be worth checking out.
Yeah. And How to Train Your Dragons, I thought was really good, too. But they keep the book they basically took and set it on fire and threw it out the window and ran over it with a car.
Right.
Like it has nothing to do with the book anymore. But they're still good movies.
Well, that's like Polar Express was like totally different than the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking summer blockbusters with Rob Thomas. Still time for your calls. Is there a movie you're looking forward to? Do you have a favorite all-time movie that screams out summer to you or blockbuster? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Another sequel coming out, Rob, a sequel to the 21 Jump Street movie, which was a remake, speaking of the 80s, of the 80s Johnny Depp and lots of other people TV show.
Right.
22 Jump Street coming out.
Pretty imaginative title, yeah. and actually, I was... very surprised how much I enjoyed 21 Jump Street because there have been a lot of bad TV to movie adaptations, but that was really funny. So I'm looking forward to that, although there are a lot of sequels this summer. I mean, there's 22 Jump Street. There's another Transformers movie with Mark Wahlberg. There's another Step Up movie. Just a lot of sequels, it seems like, this summer.
So we briefly mentioned earlier off the air, why do people come up with original movies anymore? It's TV show remake of a movie, a sequel to a movie of a remake of a movie.
Yeah. I think it's just Hollywood nervousness. They put a lot of money now in these movies, and they are trying to sell them not just in America, but all over the world. So they want something familiar, even though sometimes it's like, you know, 21 Jump Street. I don't think there's a huge fan base for that, but it's like somebody knows
it
somewhere.
We're all crying out
right.
for the movie.
Please finish the story for us. So that's enough to greenlight a movie, I guess. So, you know, again, it's like if in some ways it's almost like it's not, it's what you do with it, mm-hmm. basically. You could just cash in or you could do something that's actually kind of enjoyable out of it.
I want to talk about one that will stand out, I think. It's not a sequel. It's a documentary, in fact, Life Itself, about Roger Ebert. You actually saw this. It hasn't screened yet in Wisconsin. It was playing Sundance, and you saw it there. What can you tell us about that
one? Oh, it's an amazing film. And I think it's going to come here probably in July. And, yeah, it's a Steve James, who did Hoop Dreams and was pretty good friends with Roger Ebert, made this documentary. And it's really – it's based on Ebert's memoir, Life Itself, which is really good. And it's really much more about him than about the movies and his growing up in Champaign and you know, his career and his life and different things he dealt with. It's his – there's some very entertaining stuff on him and Siskel, their kind of prickly relationship, really. And then, of course, the last few years of his life where he was really, he had throat cancer. He couldn't speak. He couldn't eat and really reinvented himself and became this, did some of the best writing, I think, of his long career, which is saying something. Yeah, it's a really powerful, entertaining documentary. And I think by July will be a nice sort of counter-programming to all the explosions and dinosaurs and stuff.
Well, following the counter-programming thing, Richard Linklater, who I think his big splash was with Slacker.
Correct.
A very different kind of movie. His new movie, Boyhood, is coming out in July, and I've been reading about this. He filmed it over years with the same actors so he could have the same people as they aged.
Yeah, it's incredible. I saw that at Sundance as well, and it's one of my favorites of the year because you're exactly right. He found this boy who was six, shot a few scenes in 2001, came back when he was seven, 2002. And you see this kid and the fictional actors around him grow up to be 18. And he shot over 12 years a little bit at a time. And it's really an amazing film. I mean, it's like
it's
nothing
not just
I've
a
ever
stunt.
Seen. No, it tells a really interesting story about growing up and the little moments, not just the kind of the big Hollywood ones, but it's a really interesting movie.
And it's fiction, right? It's not a documentary.
That's right. It's Ethan Hawke's his dad and Patricia Arquette's his mom, and a lot of it, I think, is improvised. But it's just Linklater has a really good eye for like sort of just natural storytelling, not big moments. He did the Before Sunrise, Midnight trilogy as well. And this is kind of in the same vein. But
Ethan Hawke always does those movies where a few years later he films another movie.
Right. Well, I think he's aging. He knows he's going to age well somehow, so he's not afraid of doing those.
Yeah. Well, let's go out with a clip from another. This is another. This has been a movie that's been around for a while. We've got a new spin on it. New Planet of the Apes movie. Here's a clip.
It was a virus created by scientists in a lab. You can't blame the apes.
Who the hell else am I going to blame?
Guys, you can't blame the apes. Please.
Don't blame the apes.
Please. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, this is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm trying to remember, keep score. Last one was Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was actually pretty good. I mean,
really?
I didn't
see it.
Yeah, it was James Franco was in it. It was pretty good for a talking ape movie. So this one might be good, too. I think it's if they do it right.
And another sequel we didn't pull a clip, Transformers. Transformers Age of Extinction. How many there have been a lot of those?
This is the fourth one, and I know Mark Wahlberg is jumping in at this time, and all I know is that my local theater, there's a big dinosaur robot, and I don't know why, but it's something to do with the movie.
Yeah. Oh, so there's dinosaurs.
I think kids like dinosaurs. I'm not sure.
Everybody likes dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaur robot is like, that's like an eight-year-old just turns and starts walking towards the theater when they hear about that.
All right, copyright this. Godzilla versus the Transformers. Boom.
My
Hollywood career has just been made.
I'm not going to go. Sorry, Rob.
So what makes, Rob, a great summer blockbuster movie that's popular and worth watching, maybe stands the test of time?
Well, I mean, you know, the one that always pops in my head is Jaws. And even though that's like 40 years ago now.
And that was kind of the first one, right?
Exactly, right. Before. I mean, in Star Wars, too. But it's the kind of thing where, like, you get the big thrills. You get the cutting-edge special effects. But they've also, like, thought up a story, thought up characters, you know, hired good actors, that sort of thing. I know, it's crazy, but, like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I've had that feeling in summer movies sometimes where there's a lot of hype, and you go see it, and you're like, all right, and that was done. But the ones that keep you coming back are the ones that they actually put some thought into more than just what would make a cool trailer.
Right. Well, that's a good place to leave it. We'll be looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have you back on, talk about some more as they come out.
That'd be great.
Rob, thanks for joining us. Rob Thomas, editor and writer at The Cap Times and blogger at Madison Movie.